Today she's Masechta Babatzia Daf Chav Tes. We will begin on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. So is the Mishnah. The Mishnah now begins to discuss if somebody finds a lost object, what is he supposed to do with it? So says the Mishnah, Kol Dover She'oichel, if what was found is something that is able to produce, so Yasav Yoichel. You shouldn't just sell it off, but rather use it, and the money will be used to support this. And then when the person who lost it comes, you'll be able to return to him his lost object. However, if the thing that you found is ein oisav oichel, animals, for example, that don't even earn as much as they don't, what they earn, what they produce from working doesn't equal what it costs to support them. Yimachar should be sold. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vashivaisalai. And what the Torah is teaching us with this pasuk is Re'ei, pay attention, Hechtashivenalai. Then look at what is the best way how to return this object. Sometimes the best thing is to just sell it off, because if you're going to have to get reimbursed for what it costs you to support it, till the person who lost it comes, it might not be worth it. And sometimes it is worth the investment. And what the Torah tells us to do is every time pay attention what is the right thing to do. Continues the Mishnah, by Yehei B'damim. So you sold off you sold off the lost object because it wasn't worth holding on, it wasn't worth holding on to. What should you do with that money? Reb Tarfon Omer Yishtamish Behem. Reb Tarfon says that the person who gets this money, in other words, the person who found the item, now has this item, may use that money for his own personal use. And Lefikach, and therefore says Reb Tarfon, if that's what you end up doing, Im Avdu, if something happens to that money, Chai B'Chiruson, you will be held responsible for that loss. Reb Kiva Melo Yishtamish Behem. Rekiva, on the other hand, holds that you may not use that money for your own private use. And Lefikach, according to Rekivim, Avdu, if that money gets lost, Echai B'chiyusam, you will not be held responsible for that money. So, ask the Gemara. The Meshech Chochma discusses a quais. If somebody found two animals, and one is very valuable, and the other one is useless. So Meshech Chochma says that we don't take, and we assume that both animals were lost by the same owner. Meshech Chochma says that the halacha doesn't say we look at this as a package, but rather, says the Meshech Chochma, we look at each animal individually, and the animal that's worth keeping is the animal. That's what we'll do with that animal, and the animal that's not worth keeping, so that animal we will, according to the Meshech Chochma, sell off. Says the Gemara, Lo'olam, is this the halacha that a person is obligated to take care of this animal forever? Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, no, Ad Shnei Maaseh Chodesh, only up to 12 months. And after 12 months, we don't consider anymore, is this worth it or not? But rather, after 12 months, we sell the animal. And of course, the money, as we just learned in the Mishnah, will be given back to the owner. Tanya Nami Hochi, Kodava She'oisav Oichel, anything that works and produces, but also you have expenses, you should hold on to it for 12 months. The Rambam holds that the 12 months begin from the day that you found it. The Torah says the 12 months begin from the day you started using it for work. Afterwards, some domain, you sell them, and you put the money aside. A golem v'seyachim, calves that don't really produce, b'tapem shloisha chadoshim, take care of them for 3 months. B'kav eilach, some domain umenicham, afterwards you sell them off. Avoz v'tanagolem, geese and chicken, b'tapem b'shloishim yoyim, you should hold on to them for 30 days. B'kav eilach, after the 30 days, says the Gemara, some domain of Menachem, at that point that at that point you sell it off. Omer of Nachman Yitzchak, Tanegoilus, the chicken that lays eggs, is kebehem agasa. So since the chicken lays eggs, it's something that you have use for, and that's why you don't sell it off right away. Taina mehochi, Tanegoilus, kebehem agasa, betapem shnei masa chodesh. You take care, you use them for 12 months. Bekam eilach sam demeim amenechem. Agol v'sayochim, but calves, betapem shloshim yoim, bekan veilach sam demeim amenechem. Avzim v'goylem v'kol dover, shetipule merubim mischoroi. Anything that is more expensive to take care of them than the profit they create, betapem shloshim yoim, work with them for 3 days, bekam veilach, after the 3 days, some demeim amenichem. So the Gvur Sari asks that we learned in Masechta Baba Kama that also legadl behemadaka bet Yisrael, that one is not allowed to raise a behemadaka net Yisrael. So if you're not allowed to raise a behemadaka net Yisrael, he asks, how is it possible that you should keep this behemadaka, the eagle, even for the smallest amount? So he answers that the halacha that you're not allowed to raise a behemadaka is only in an inhabited area, but in a place, sodas fioris, fields and forest, which is not a place that people inhabit, there's no such gzeira. And then he suggests that since we're doing here the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, so he suggests that the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda is more important than the gzeira, overrides the gzeira the Rabbanon of one not being allowed to raise these animals in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he says it's better to hold on to these animals and raise them in Eretz Yisrael versus, even though it involves being over this Isser, versus violating the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. But ask the Gemara, Kashi Agol Suyochim, Agol Suyochim, we have a stira. One brisa says that we should work with them for 3 months, and the other brisa says 30 days. And then says the Gemara, I have some Tanagoylem. The first brisa says that we should deal with them, with the geese and the chicken, for 30 days. And the second brisa says 3 days. Answers the Gemara, Agolim v'asiyochim, Agolim v'asiyochim v'kasha, that could be reconciled. Hod the raya, the brisa that says you should keep them for 30 days, speaks about a case that there's plenty of pasture available, so it isn't a big deal to take care of them. Hadib Tuma, the second brisa that says the 30 days is where you have to take out money to feed them, and therefore it may not be worth it. Avzana Tanagoyim Loikasha, Habar Ivory, the one that says 3 days is speaking about large ones that need a lot of food. Habazutri, the smaller ones don't need that much food, so there you should hold on for 30 days. That's the way Rashi learns. The Rambam and the Ran learn just the opposite. The large ones that could take care of themselves and they'll find food for themselves 30 days. But the small ones that you have to take care of them, so therefore you need, it's only 3 days. V'shein oisav oichel, but then the Mishnah spoke about something that doesn't produce. The halacha is you, the finder, your macher should sell it. Tana Bonin, the pasuk says, v'ashivoy saloi, Ray, and the Torah is instructing us, Ray hech teshilenoloi. Look how what's the smartest thing to do? Yeloyachel egel agolim. The Torah is just telling us, don't feed a calf with calf. You'll be losing money. Saech l'seyochim, avzel avazim, v'tanagol tanagolim. Everything should be done intelligently. So we learned in the Mishnah, ma'yeh b'damim. So now at whatever point the Torah tells us, the halacha allows us, tells us to sell them, what should be done with that money? Rav Tarfon Mishtamish, Rav Tarfon says that the person who found this animal and sold the animal is allowed to use the money. But therefore, said Rav Tarfon, if something happens to that money, it will be this person's responsibility. And Rav Kiva's opinion was that you're not allowed to use it. And therefore, Rav Kiva's opinion was that if something happened to them, you will not be held responsible. Says the Gemara, I can't look pligi. When do we have a machloikis? Because you have a right to use that money. avloy nishtamsh bem, if you didn't have a right to use it, im avdu, then if they would have gotten lost, so you didn't have any right to use it, so you didn't have any benefit from it, everybody agree that you would be potter, you would not be held responsible if something would happen to this. And now our Gemara goes back to review something that we discussed very, a sugya that we discussed very extensively in Masech Baba Kama, Daf Nun Vav, the sugya of Prutid Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says that any person who is a shomer, as a watching an aveda, is in the category of a shomer sachar. And the Rishonim have two ways of understanding Rabbi Yosef's opinion. One is because he's oisik b'mitzvah, while he's taking care of this aveda, he's oisik b'mitzvah, potam and a mitzvah. One that's doing a mitzvah is exempt from doing any other mitzvahs. So if somebody's taking care of an aveda, and now somebody comes to ask him for tzedakah, he's not obligated to give the tzedakah because he's busy with the other mitzvah. So he's profiting from this aveda, and therefore he's called a shomer sachar. And the other pshat that the Rishonim give in understanding Rabbi Yosef's opinion is that since the Torah told him to do this, so doing what the Torah told us to do is the greatest obligation, and therefore he's considered a shomer sachar. And the Pnei Yeshua explains that pshat. He says that since when one fills a mitzvah, he's going to get a schar. So the schar that he's getting for fulfilling the mitzvah makes him into a shomer sachar. The nafkamina between these explanations, explained the Gedul Shmuel and the Chassam Sofer, is what's going to be when, as we're going to be learning, that a person who's a zokein ve'ein elfi kvoidoi, somebody who's not obligated in the mitzvah of Shavuos Aveda, and he's still taking care of the Aveda. Because if the prophet, that he doesn't have to give the oni, so that applies to him as well. But if the thing is because of it's a mitzvah, by him, it's not a mitzvah. Another nafk, which is a chiddush, because maybe he's not obligated to do that mitzvah, but to suggest that if somebody who's not obligated to be a shomer aveda chose to do it anyway, he should not be considered as if he's doing a mitzvah, is a chiddush. Dar Sameach, it has a different pshat. He says, what's going to be the halacha if this aveda caused damage to somebody else? If we consider him a regular shomer sachar, and why we consider him a regular shomer sachar, because he's saving that he doesn't have to give tzedakah, so then he's a regular shomer sachar, and of course a shomer sachar is held responsible for any damage something that he's watching does. But if we're going to only say that he's a shomer sachar because of the schar of the Torah, so he's not your classical shomer sachar, says Dor Sameach. And therefore, if he's not your classical shomer sachar, he maybe wouldn't be held responsible if it did damage, of course, if he did the best he can. Why does Rabbah disagree with Rabbi Yosef and not consider the shomer aveda a shomer sachar? Certainly, Rava has to agree with the concept of oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. So one pshat is that at the end of the day, it's highly unlikely that while he's taking care of the Veda, that's when the oni is going to come. And therefore, since it's unlikely, that can't qualify him to be a shomer sachar. Moreover, the Nesivos seems to say that when the person found this aveda, it was not his intention that I want to be a shomer of this aveda in order not to have to give the pruta to the ani. And when are you a shomer sachar, says the Nesivos? You're only a shomer sachar if you accept it upon yourself to be a shomer sachar with the conditions that the shomer sachar brings along. But if you're not a shomer sachar with all of those conditions, then you're not going to be considered a shomer sachar. when we speak about this concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah, so according to Rabbi Yosef, somebody who's a Shayim Asachar, somebody who's a Shayim Aveda, and a person comes to ask if it's stuck at that time, he's exempt. And the Makar, the source for the halacha, Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah, they're two different psukim. Because the pasuk says in Krishma, v'shiftecha b'seicha v'lechtecha b'derech, means when you're doing something for your own personal gain, then you have to do mitzvahs. However, somebody's belechas mitzvah is not obligated. Another source is the pasuk says, because they were oisik b'meis mitzvah, and therefore they had to come up with a way to let them do the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Pesach. Tosfos says, so now the question is, how do we approach the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah? For example, we wear tzitzis all day. We wear tefillin by davening. What's the halacha? Does somebody who's wearing tzitzis say, able to say, Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah, and therefore I don't have to do any other mitzvahs? So Tosfos says, that the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah means only if while I'm doing the first mitzvah, it prevents me from doing another mitzvah. That's when we say Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. But if there's no problem in doing both mitzvahs, then the halacha is you should do both mitzvahs. The Ran disagrees. And the Ran says Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah means that you only have to do one mitzvah and not do the other mitzvah. The Ravid seems to have like a compromise position. He says, if I have a lost object in my house, and I'm not even home, so then we wouldn't say, Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. But if I am home, then we would say, Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. The Stipler actually says that the question here, the Machloikis HaRishonim, that we just discussed in how to apply the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah, the Stipler wants to say, really should be connected to a much more fundamental question. The two words in halacha that we often find, and that is that kutra or dechuya. When the Torah tells us you're allowed to do something which normally you would not be allowed to do, how are we to look at it? Is it kutra? It's 100% mutter. There's no obligation, or dechuya. The most common case where this is discussed is on Shabbos. The halach is that hatzolos nefashos pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos. The question is, how does the halacha look at that? Does the halacha look at it as hutra? It's 100% mutter, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Or it's dechuya, it's only reluctantly mutter. So the Stipler wants to say, if we say oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah is hutra, so then we can understand the Ran's pshat. You're doing one mitzvah. Hutra, all other mitzvahs are not on the table. But if we learn that Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah should be understood as the chuya, reluctantly, you only could do one thing at a time. So then we understand Tosfos' opinion that if you could do both, you should certainly do both. The Mishmeres Chaim asks that the Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody's in the middle of Krishma, he should answer Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah. But the question that he asks is that this is certainly, according to all opinions, a situation of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. So why should he have to answer Yeheshmei Rabbah? So he answers, there's another concept, there's another consideration that comes into consideration. And he says, there is the issue of Bezoyin HaMitzvah. If by not doing the mitzvah, if by not answering Krishma, I'm going to be embarrassing the main Yeheshmei Rabbah that everybody's saying. So there we don't say Oisik mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. The question that we have an interesting machlokes achronim, if somebody is doing a mitzvah derabbanan, and now he has the ability to do a mitzvah deraisa, do we say Oisik mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah? The Stechemet says that we still apply the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah, even in such circumstances. The Rabbi Chanan is not quite certain. There's an interesting question, as we discuss the question of oisk mitzvah, potter ben a mitzvah. What is the halacha if somebody's in the middle of davening, and while he's davening, somebody comes to collect staka, which is actually quite related to the discussion that we're having in our sugya now. Because in our sugya, we're discussing a situation where somebody's a shemer aveda. Does he have to give a pruta staka? So the Ramosha Sternbach Shlita and the Shas of Chuvus van Huggis, Chela Gimel Simon Reish Pei Boris, wants to suggest that somebody who's oisik, the case of our Gemara, he's oisik b'mitzah or ben Adam l'chaveroi, Hashavas Aveda. So if he's doing one mitzah ben Adam l'chaveroi, then he's exempt from another mitzah ben Adam l'chaveroi of giving tzedakah. But if somebody who's doing a mitzvah ben Adam l'makom, where he's davening, and there that is a mitzvah ben Adam l'chaveroi tzedakah, he suggests that maybe there we wouldn't say oisik b'mitzvah, potum and a mitzvah. And then maybe he says if you're in the middle of davening, you should not interrupt the gift tzedakah. But then he differentiates. He says if it's in the middle of Birchus Krishma or Krishma, then you and certainly Shemon Esrei, you don't give tzedakah. In the middle of Pesukah de Zimra, you should. Revozna Zatzal, in the Shal Zatshuva Shevet Alevi, Chelik Yud Simon Kuf Nun Zayin, discusses a situation where you have people learning, and in the middle of the learning, there are people that come in to ask for tzedakah. Should their learning be interrupted to give tzedakah? So he wants to suggest that it depends. If it's a situation where the people who are coming to ask tzedakah are desperate and need the money right here and right now, so there the halacha would tell us that you should interrupt the learning to give them tzedakah. But if it's not such a situation and one could wait to give the tzedakah, he says that one's learning should not be interrupted to have to give the tzedakah, and it's certainly a situation of oisim mitzvah potem in the mitzvah. So ask the Gemara, the machloik leimet have to give to Rabbi Yosef, shouldn't our Mishnah be a question, a refutation of the opinion of Rabbi Yosef? Ditmar, as we just discussed, shomer aveda, if somebody's a shomer aveda, Rava Omar Shemichinam, he's treated like a Shemichinam. Rabbi Yosef Omar, he's treated a Shemichinam. So our Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Kiva, since one is not allowed to use the Aveda, he's not going to be held responsible. But according to Rabbi Yosef, he automatically becomes a Shemichinam. Amlach Rabbi Yosef, B'gneva Aveda, we have to reinterpret the Mishnah. B'gneva Aveda, the Kulam Aloi Pligi the Chayiv, there's no machlok to Rekiva of Tarfin that the person will be held responsible for Gneva Aveda under all circumstances. Why? Because the Svara Prut of Rabbi Yosef makes him into a Shema Sacher. Ki Pligi, where is the machlok to Rekiva and Rabbi Yosef? Rekiva Erev Tarfin, points in the Shoyal. Is he considered a Shoyal? And we know that a shoyl has a higher level of responsibility, that the shoyl is chayiv even for oitzim. Since Chazal allowed him to use the money that he got as the proceeds for selling the Aveda, he's considered a shoyl. Have a shoyl allow you. And once he's a shoyl, he's chayiv for oitzim. Rabbi Kiva, sover, that you have no right to use that money, and since you don't have a right to use that money, you're still only a shomer sacher, says Rabbi Yosef, hilchach lo have a shoyl layu, but you're not a shoyl. Ask the Gemara if the whole machloikis of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva is, are you a shoyl or not? So we need to understand the word lefikach, dam Rabbi Kiva lomeli. Why does the Mishnah say, Rabbi Kiva ayim lo yishtamish behem? Lefikach im avdo enachai b'chiyosai. The halach is, of course, if he can't use it, he's not going to be high for the response for Einzim. Why would Rabbi Kiva have to tell us that he isn't? Answers the Gemara, and the Gemara develops this question. If we would say that the Machloikis is regarding Aveda and Aveda, so now we can understand the wording of the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva says you're not allowed to use that money under any circumstances, and therefore Lefikachem Avdu. And therefore, if something happens to them, it ain't a chayav b'chriyusin. Why? the Sakadat Chamina, because Rabbi Kiva is coming to teach us, the Mishnah is coming to teach us in explaining Rabbi Kiva's opinion. The Sakadat Chamina Shema Sacher, however, we would think that it should be considered like a Shema Sacher because Rabbi Yosef said, because of the Prutid Rabbi Yosef, and therefore we would think that he's Chayiv, Gnev Aveidim Chayiv. That's why, Kamashwan, that's why our Mishnah has to come to teach us, Lefikach, that I don't agree with Rabbi Yosef, and you're not a Shema Sacher, and therefore you're not Chayiv, Gnev Aveidim. But hash the Damit. But now we're saying, Lo Yishtamish Behen, that you're not allowed to use them, Shema Sacher Lo Havi, Lo Mechayiv, Gnev Aveidim. It's very understandable. Eli Amrit, the way Rabbi Yosef, we said, explains the Mishnah, that everybody will agree that he's chayef gneva aveda because of the pruta of Rabbi Yosef. Ki pligi, and their machloikas of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfin is only oitzim deshoil. Are you allowed to use this money? So, and Rabbi Kiva says that since you're not allowed to use the money, that's why you're not chayef in an oinus that would happen to the money. Ask the Gemara, Ma'alafikach to Rikiva. How do we understand the word lafikach? Hachem Be'ela Misna, what the Mishnah should say. L'Rikiva Oyma Lo Yishtam Shpem. You're not allowed to use this money. And then, for since you're not allowed to use the money, so it's obvious that now you're Dano, the Kiva de Lo Yishtam Shpem, it will be obvious that since I'm not allowed to use the money, so therefore, Lav Shoyl Hava, the Shomer Aveda is not considered a Shoyl, and therefore, Enachai Bechri Yusan. So ask the Gemara if Rabbi Yosef's interpretation of the Mishnah is correct. Lefikach Rabbi Kiva Lomeli. Why was it? What? How do we understand the word lefikach in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. You're right. Rabbi Kiva didn't. There was no need to say lefikach by Rabbi Kiva. The reason it was said by Rabbi Kiva was Mishum lefikach to Rabbi Tarfin, because by Rabbi Tarfin we needed the word lefikach. So that's why the Mishnah used it by Rabbi Tarfin. Ask the Gemara, Ulfikach Rab Tarfin Lamali, and why was it necessary to say Lafikach by Rab Tarfin? And says the Gemara Hachikomer, Kiv the Shal Rabban Lashtamush Begavayu, since Chazal allowed you to use the money that you receive from selling Daveda, command the Mishtamish Begavayu Dami. It's as if you already used the money for Chai Bechayusan. Ask the Gemara, but how can we understand the Mishnah that the question here is, in our Mishnah, if you chayiv an oinsim, because are you considered a shoyel? But that's not what the Mishnah, that isn't what the Mishnah was discussing. Of the Ketani, the Mishnah was speaking about a case where it was lost. And lost is not an oinus. Answers the Gemara, Kedir Rabba. We have to explain the Mishnah the way Rabba explained the word avdu. Dama Rabba, when the Mishnah says nignavu, doesn't mean a regular situation of being stolen. Stolen, it means belista mezuyin. And as we've learned many times, the definition of lista mezuyin means an oinus. Here too, it'll be avdu, it'll be not your regular case of avdu, gneva aveda. It means shetavas v'nasu b'yam, which is an example of an oinus. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, halacha kev tarfin. The halacha is that if somebody finds money, that the money that he receives as proceeds for selling the Aveda, the halacha is that he's allowed to use that money. Says the Gemara, B'yad Rechava. Rechava had Havlei Hanizuzu Diyasmi. There was money of Yisoymim that was left by him to watch the money. Osla Kamei Rabbi Yosef, and they came to Rabbi Yosef, Amalei Malish Damush Begavai, am I allowed to use that money that was left by me for safekeeping? Amalei hach amar Yehuda Mishmul, halacha k'Rav Tarfin. He said, the halacha is like Rav Tarfin. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. Till now, we've been speaking about the money that one receives as proceeds for selling an Aveda. What does it have to do with a Pekodin that somebody is watching? So the Shita, quoting the Ravid, says, he says that when we speak about a pikadon that was left by me by a gadol, so since the person who left the pikadon with me could always come to claim it back, so there's clearly a difference between a pikadon and a aveda. But when we speak about a pikadon that was left from yisoyim ktanim, that they don't have the right to pick it up anytime they want, because we're not going to give it to them even if they ask for it. The Bekadna is like an Aveda. The Rush explains that if we think about the May Aveda, what does it mean? I'm doing the person who lost this object a big favor. Says the Rush, the same thing when a watching something that belongs to a Yosem, who is incapable at this point of his life to watch it himself. So therefore, I'm considered an individual who's doing something which is like watching an Aveda. The Mukhi Yosef, because of this question, has a whole different explanation. He says that what Rav Chava was watching for the Yosemim was an Aveda. So therefore, since what he was watching for the Yosemim was an Aveda, it makes sense what we're learning here, that it, whatever the Aloch by Aveda would be, the Aloch over here would be as well. So he said, since the Aloch is like Rav Tarfon, the Rav Chava should be allowed to use this Pekodin. But haven't we learned regarding this halacha? Amar Rav Chelba, Amar Rav Huna, loy shana al b'demei aveda. Only if you sold the aveda and you're allowed to use the proceeds. Why? Because you went through the bother of taking care of the aveda. And I saw that the Rishonim explained, as we learned at the beginning of our shir, not only did you go through the bother of selling it, but you even had to take care of it for the amount of time till you're allowed to sell it. Avamos Aveda, if you found money, that you don't have to do anything to do it, the loy tarach baloy. The hani, and this money, is kamas Aveda dami. Amalei, Sir Yosef, etc. Chavazil, leave, lo shafka l'dashrilach. They did not give me a permission. I wanted to allow you to use the money, but it wasn't meant to be. It says the Mishnah Matzah Sfarim, if somebody found Sfarim. And here too, the concern is that if you're not going to take care of open these Sfarim, they could get ruined. And as the Rambam says, we learned earlier in the Shiva, Vashivai Soloi, when somebody finds a lost object, he has to make sure to take care of it in a manner that it shouldn't get ruined. So Matzah Sfarim, Kariben Achas L'Shloshim Yoyim. Open them up and learn them once every 30 days. The many are delicious. If the person who found it is not able to learn, so goyalam, he should open them and roll them from beginning to end, Rashi says, to let ear get in and they won't get moldy, they won't get ruined. Avlo yilmadem betchilo, you shouldn't learn something that you've never learned before, because then you may get involved and come to tear the sefer. And similarly, leyikra achr imoy, somebody else shouldn't learn with you, because you may pull it in one direction, he may pull it in another direction, and will chas v'shalom get torn. Matzah ktsus, if you found a garment, menara echas l'shloshim yoyim, once every 30 days you should ear it out, v'shaytcha l'tzarcha, and put it out in the ear, avaloi l'chvoidai. Don't put it out in a time and a place that everybody should see, oh, I have this very expensive, valuable garment. If I found kli kesev kli nechoshes, silver or copper kalim, mishtamish ben letzorchem, you could use it if it's for the benefit of the kalim. Avloy l'shachakom, you may not use it in a way that it could get ruined. Kli zov, you found golden kalim, or kli zechuches, glass, which is very easy to break. Layigaben, don't touch them. Atchiyav Elio. Matzah Saka Kupa, you found a bag or a box. V'kol davish ein darka litoil, if something that is not to your honor, the person who finds it carries such a thing, hareza layita, leave it where it is. Says the Gemara on Mishmul, hamaytzi tefillin b'shuk, if somebody finds tefillin in the street, the halacha is, some the mayhem, you should value them, umenichan l'altar, and you could right away sell them. The Berhetif, of course, points out that the tefillin have to be put in a way that it seems that are kosher. If the tefillin, usually the tefillin that are not kosher, are not wrapped properly. In such a case, of course, you can't use them. We have to be concerned about the kashrus of those tefillin. Masa Ravino, the Mishnah said, Matzah Sfarim Karim Benachas L'Shloshim Yoyim. If you find Sfarim, you use them once every 30 days. V'meni Deo Likres Goylam. So we see the Goylam in. We're allowed to roll them. some domain menichim loy, but we're not allowed to sell them. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, tefillin bei bar chova, in the place of bar chova, mashkech shchichi, were very common. There's many tefillin, and therefore Shmuel said, you're allowed to sell them. Svarim, but svarim were not that common, so selling off the svarim is much more, and then when the person will come, it'll be much more complicated for him to find another pair of svarim. The Shailos Teshuvos Tzemach Tzedek says a very interesting vort. He says, what happens if you find a siddur? He says, people have their own siddur from which they always like to daven. And since people have their own siddur, which they always like to daven from, even if there's plenty siddurim, if you find a siddur, you shouldn't use somebody else's siddur. The Michas Alozer, in the Shas Chuvas Michas Alozer, Chelik Dalet Simen Tes, says that this Gemara that says that you could always find tefillin, and since you could always find tefillin, I'm allowed to sell the tefillin, and then if the person who lost the tefillin will come, I'll give him the money and just buy another pair. He says that was in their world. In their world, where the halachi, where tefillin were tefillin. But nowadays, the Mechzalosa says, people are very sensitive that they want to have tefillin that were written by a specific cipher. And therefore, in that case, you can't just assume, well, I'll just get another pair, because you can't necessarily find the same type of tefillin as you have. Therefore, there he says, the halacha is that you should leave them and hopefully the person who lost them will come. Which opens up our entire discussion. The halacha is that if somebody comes to a shul and he doesn't have talis tefillin, could he put on talis and tefillin that he finds in the shul? So the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Yudalid Sif Dalid in Arachaim says, Mutalita talis chaveru levarachala. You ought to take somebody's talis and use it and make a bracha. Uvachi kapalaisoi matzah mukapelas. You have to fold it up the same way as you found it. And the Ramah writes, V'hu adin betfilin, that the same halach will apply betfilin. And the reason is, because nichle linish, the leva mitzvah moini. People are confident that people are happy that you should be able to use something that they own to do a mitzvah. The question is, in the world that we live in, where people are not so comfortable with other people wearing somebody else's tefillin, the question, talis tefillin, what would be the halacha? So the Chashuk Yechemin has a long discussion and says that in a case where the talis tefillin are in a locker, for example. So that's proof that this person doesn't want everybody to take the tefillin talis without permission. And under those circumstances, you should not take it. But if the talis tefillin are left open or on a table or wherever, that is a proof that the person who left them there is not so particular. And therefore, since the person who left it there is not that particular, the halacha will be that you're allowed to wear that talis, you are allowed to put on that talis tefillin. So then he discusses, well, what happens based on the psak that we just learned? You took those talis and tefillin to put on, and then the person who is the owner of that talis tefillin comes and discovers that you wore his talis and tefillin and is upset. How did you wear my talis and tefillin without my permission? So now the question is, since we now see that the owner of that talis tefillin is upset that you wore his talis tefillin, maybe you should have to put on talis tefillin again because you weren't yoytze to the mitzvah. So he suggests that you wouldn't have to put it on again. The concept of nichle l'inish, the levit mitzvah m'mayinai, overrides any other consideration. Says Matan Abana Shoyal Sefer Torah Mechaveroi, if somebody borrows a Sefer Torah, harezol yishen al acher, you're not allowed to lend that Sefer Torah, you borrow the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to lend it to anyone else. L'poyz chavik karboi, the person who borrows the Sefer Torah could open it and read it. Ovat shlo yimet boi, betchila, don't learn something now that you never learned before, because you may ruin the Sefer Torah. and somebody else shouldn't learn with you, again, because the two people who are learning from the Sefer Torah will each be pulling it in their own direction. Somebody who asks somebody else to watch the Sefer Torah, every 12 months you should roll it to air it out. He could open up and read it. But if he's only doing it for his own need, that he wants a Sefer Torah, asur. A new Sefer Torah that is more likely to get moldy, open it every 30 days. Yoshin, an old Sefer Torah, is not as quick to get moldy. That loch is Shnei Masa Chodesh every 12 months. Blazim and Yaakov Aymer, Echadzeh v'Echadzeh, both types of Sifri Torah, the halacha should be only once every 12, Shnei Masa Chodesh. So here too we have a very interesting question. Because many shuls, people have their Sifri Torah that they leave in the shul. It's not that they give the shul the Sefer Torah, they leave the shul in the Sefer Torah. And the question is, Rachman Atzlan, if there's an oval in the community, and if there's an oval in the community, he's sitting shiva in his home. So very common that the shuls give the oval a Sefer Torah from which to learn, to lane from while they're sitting shiva. Can you give that Sefer Torah to the oval without permission of the owner? So he makes a very interesting point. He says certainly if the Sefer Torah is insured, but it's only insured if it's in the shul. That's how the insurance policy was written. So certainly you can't put it into somebody else's home because then the insurance policy would not be valid. Similarly, I think, if in shul it's in a safe and in the person's home it wouldn't be in a safe, it would also be the same concern because since you don't have that same level of security, you wouldn't be allowed to take it to the person's home. But even if you don't have those problems of the insurance and the security, Al Gemara is teaching us that you're not something which is lent to you, you may not lend to someone else. A Sefer Torah in a shul is something that was lent to the shul. And therefore, the halach is that somebody who borrowed something may not lend it to somebody else. So the Mishnah, the Gemara now begins to analyze this Bryce. If somebody borrowed a Sefer Torah, the halacha is that you can't lend it to someone else. Ask the Gemara, but why my area Sefer Torah? Why was the Sefer Torah singled out? I feel a kamil in Ami. The halacha should be by everything. Because we've learned, Damar of Shimon ben Lakish, that the halacha is that if we learned in Masecht Gittin, that if somebody sent a get to his wife with one shliach, and he's not allowed to give it to a different shliach. And we learned there, Kashan Rebbe, Rish Lakish, in analyzing that Mishnah taught us, the Rebbe teaches us, Ein hashoyl u'shoyl lahashcho, a borrower may not lend, Ein hashoyl, a tenant may not u'shoyl lahashcho to somebody else. Answers the Gemara, yes. But say, that is indeed the halacha. Because Sefer Torah is tzuchalei, madu teima, nichlei linish tesavim mayim and mayim. People want that their money, that their objects should be used for mitzvah, kamash malon. So we learned, paischa v'karibay, somebody who borrows Sefer Torah could open it and read in it. Ask the Gemara, obviously, pshita, elamai shalimenei, if I obviously borrowed it to be able to use it. If the halacha will be that I won't be able to use it, so what's the point of borrowing it? Answers the Gemara, Sefer Etzuchalei, you're right. There's no chiddush in this halacha. The halacha is for the next din, uvachlo yima babetchila, don't learn something in it for the first time, because learning in it the first time, more likely to tear it. V'kein ha-mafkat Sefer Torah Etzuchaveri, we learned in the Braisa, goy loy kol shneim osu chiddush, and poischoy v'karibay. It seems that you want to open it to read from it, you're allowed to. Ask the Gemara, Maya Viditegebai, why is he allowed to learn from that Sefer Torah? He's not a shoyl, he's a shomer. V'su, moreover, im mishviloi paischai, if he's opening it for his own use, asur, it should certainly be asur for him to do so. Because ha'amrit, we learned by, you're only allowed to open it. The Tana said, Paischai Bekari by, that you're allowed to open it. The way to understand it is as follows. You're not opening it for your own purpose, because you have no right to do so. But if, as you're rolling it, which is for the purpose of the Sefer Torah, Paischai Bekari by, you're going to read from it, mutter. But if your entire goal is only for yourself, and you didn't open up the Sefer Torah here at all for the purpose of the use of the Sefer Torah, the halacha is that that's asur. Some chasimer, chadash, a new Sefer Torah that gets moldy quicker, you could open it shloishim yayim. Yashon, shnei masu chadash, every 12 months. V'lezim ben Yaakovai, me'echad zev, echad zev, shnei masu chadash. Ask the Gemara, v'lezim ben Yaakov, hanatanakama. They both agree that Sumchis differentiates between a new Sefer Torah and an old Sefer Torah. The Tana Kama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov presumably hold the same. Ella, Emma, the way to understand it is, Tana Kama holds once every, both a new and old Sefer Torah is once every 12 months. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, indeed, a new Sefer Torah and an old Sefer Torah should be treated the same way, but that should be Echad Zev, Echad Zev L'Shloshim Yoyim. We learned furthermore, don't learn something for the first time in it. Someone else shouldn't read with you because it could come to rip it. For many, ask the Gemara, don't read in the Parsha twice. Don't read from it and then, while it's open, explain it. Because again, that will keep the Sefer Torah open for a long time and could cause it to get ripped. Don't open up more than three pages. It seems that two people may. So how do we reconcile this? Answers the Gemara. If they're learning from the same law, from the same page, so each one is pulling the Sefer Torah in his own direction, and since each one is pulling the Sefer Torah in his own direction, there's a chance it's going to get torn. Kam b'shnei yonim, when they're reading different subjects, so everybody's reading his own thing, and they won't pull it in different directions and rip it. Matzuk tzus, we learned in the Mishnah, if you find the garment, menara achs l'shloshu yoyim, l'memra, so this means that airing it out, malalei, v'asta gemar v'amrav yoychanan, b'shiesh le'gardim umim b'toich b'esoy, somebody who has an expert weaver at home, he could air out his clothing every day because he has somebody available to fix it. Clearly an indication that under other circumstances, that should not do. Answers the Gemara, Amri, indeed, doing it every day is not good for it. But to do it once in every 30 days, then the halacha is that it's okay. Ibay same lekasha. Habachad, if somebody only airs out the garment by himself, it's not going to ruin it. Habatrei, if you need two people, that will ruin it. Ibay same lekasha. Habiyada, if you're doing it with your hand, that's not good for the garment. Habachutra, there was some sort of a brush, a stick, that with the hand is not so bad, with the stick it's bad. Ibay simil akasha. Hava da amra, wool is easier to tear. Hava da kitna, linen is not going to tear. Amra Rav Yochanan, kasa da charshin, he says, it's better to give a person to drink from a cup that was prepared by people who do kishif, v'loy kasa da pashrim, not lukewarm water. V'loy amaran, says the Gemara, however, this that we said, the lukewarm water is dangerous. Ela b'kli matchis, if it's in a metal cup. Ab b'kli cheres, in an earthenware cup, less limbo. It's not so terrible. B'kli b'chat, the tsunami lo yamarin, and a metal cup is only at the light tzavis, when the water was not, never came to a boil. Av the tzavis, if the water had already come to a boil, less limbo. Lo yamarin, the loy shada b'tziva, if you didn't put into it tea, grass, spices, if you put some sort of wood, tea, whatever, less limbo, that isn't that isn't a problem.